Okay, we're going to start it. It's Snaf Samach Vav, 66A1, the second column. So we said that you make a stipulation before Shabbos if you don't trust your host. And Rabbi Yannai says, commenting on the Mishnah, Tzarech sheyehe zachor tanoyo. Rabbi Yannai, Tzarech sheyehe zachor tanoyo. You have to remember your condition at the time that you're eating. Now, what does that mean? You have to remember your condition. So there's two ways to learn the Gemara. One way is that the Gemara is now going to explain and elaborate Rabbi Yannai. There are other shittos that hold that the Gemara is actually having machlokes here. Let's learn first that this is an elaboration. Shimon barvo b'shem Rabbi Yochanan v'tzarech lahalchisho v'sfasav. That you have to actually whisper it, say it in an undertone. So you're going to re-say the condition that you said Erev Shabbos, you're going to say it again at your host's house. Obviously, you're saying it in an undertone, probably because you don't offend him, or because he quotes a Chazanish that says that a declaration before Shabbos has absolutely no effect whatsoever, that it's just a formality, and the actual Dibur, which is going to help, is going to be on Shabbos. So that could be a pshat. It's not clear what the reason is, but basically he's saying that you have to say it. You have to whisper the stipulation again. Right. It's clear over here that it's more important to have friends. Rabbi Yirmiya bar Kumi Reb Ze'ira. So he asked the following question. It sure looks like you're fixing it on Shabbos. If you're going to be saying a Dibur on Shabbos, then, you know, it's kind of like defeats the whole purpose over here. If you said a Dibur before Shabbos and you didn't have to say anything on Shabbos, so then we see that there's a Tikkun over here, right? A Tikkun to the Shash. So there's two ways to learn this. One is, you're right, I'll reject this teaching. Actually, you should not repeat the stipulation, even in a whisper. That's the English at the top. There's another pshat in the bottom that says, in footnote 10, second paragraph, he says, adahasni, that since the guest stipulated before Shabbos, so therefore it doesn't appear to be a tikkun. Right. According to this version, the Gemara's conclusion is that the guest does repeat the stipulation on the Shabbos. And that's how the Rambam rules. So you have a really big machlokas how to learn the Gemara and what the Gemara's maskana is. One pshat is I'll be dochet and I won't say the stipulation quietly. Another one is it doesn't look like masakin because that's what I accomplished by saying it out of Shabbos. So it's interesting the way the Gemara goes back and forth with this. Okay. Reb Yirmiya bar Kumi Reb Ze'ira. One second. Is there something else I wanted to see here? Oh, yeah. There's a Gilyoni HaShas here that says, this is from Reb Yosef Engel, right? He wrote the Gilyoni HaShas, as opposed to the Gilyon HaShas, which is written by Rishon Natanzin. The Gilyoni HaShas is written by Reb Engel, right? So it's confusing enough. But they decided to call their perushim very close to each other. Anyway, so the Gilyoni HaShas says, and this you might remember this from when you were in Eretz Yisrael. The Gilyoni HaShas says that Reb Ze'ira meant that you don't have to say the whole entire designation on Shabbos. Rather, what you say is Adahasni. I am basing this act on what I stipulated yesterday. So. That's like say yad l'neder, you know. So this is like a yad to what he said yesterday, and he just has to say this. Now I'm reminding you that there is this. If you don't remember the whole nusach, what you do is you say the chazayin ish is nusach, whatever it is, it should be chal, and this is the pruta that I'm using with that nusach, whatever it is. That was the old takana that we had in yeshiva for those who didn't know what they were doing. Okay, so here it looks very similar. Next, Rabbi Yirmiya bar Kumi Reb Ze'ira. They know awesome is from Eichlin. So Rabbi Yirmiyah always has the most interesting questions throughout Shas, both Bavli and Yerushalmi. So he's asking here an interesting question. You know, what are we saying all the time? We talked about it yesterday. He's not going to be able to eat the Trumas Meiser part because that's going to the Kohen. So what are you going to do with it? You're going to put it in your pocket and take it out? They don't have any Erev over there, you know. There's no Erev over there. You're going to your neighbor's house. So what are you going to have to do with it? You're going to have to drop it on the floor so nobody eats it because you don't want your neighbor eating it. So he's asking, what's going on over here? Isn't it Baltashkes? Right? It's funny that he's going for the Baltashkes Isser and not going for what Isser? What's the more prevalent Isser that you would think of besides Baltashkes? It's Trumas Meiser. You're not allowed to be Ma'abed Meiser, right? Even the what?
You did this trick. You know, you said the word beforehand, and now you're taking it off, and you followed that shita, right? That you're allowed to do it based on the fact that you said something beforehand, right?
Yeah, but what you said beforehand was you set aside something to be Trumas Meiser. Okay. So what's going to happen with that Trumas Meiser?
In other words, I have to put it on the floor. I can't eat it. I have to be mavishit.
So is that allowed? You can take mice, truma, and put it on the floor? There's an Indian shmir bike. Mishmas Trumosa, you have to watch it. That's a more obvious question. Anyway. Is it raining again? It's unbelievable. Anyway, so he's asking us Baltashkes. Okay, let's keep going. Omalei, Mefara. So he says an interesting answer. He says, Mefara Kolshahu. He takes it and he grinds it up with his hands so that he makes it into little small particles, in which case there's no baltashkes on small particles. You know, it has to be more than a kazayas to be baltashkes. So that's one way of learning it.
You're chopping it down into such a small bit. That's not.
That's apparently not baltashkes. Yeah, because at the time that you chop it down, it's roi lachila, right? You could collect it with your hand. But then you're going to push it on the floor.
What salad, you have an issue with chopping it down on Shabbos.
Yeah, that's true. That's tolkien. Yeah, but taking food and mushing it around. Okay, whatever. Let's assume it's soft. Okay. Others learn the pshat is that since normally the meal will be less than 100 zasim, so it's only 1% of 100 zasim, which means that it'll just be just barely the size of a kazayas to begin with. In which case, you anyway don't have to worry about it because it's smaller than a kazayas. There's no problem from the get-go. Okay, next. Rabbi Yirmiyah bar Yekumi Rabbi Zera, Veinu Asa Mishum Gezel. So now the next question. Okay, first question was Baltashkes. Now we're going on to the next answer. You know, I had this game I designed where you see people in a room and you're supposed to name all the Isurim that they're doing. Name that Isur. That's my game. That's the game I designed. I love it. I love coming up with all the Yisurim. He's eating without a bracha. He's been quite forbidden. You know, whatever. You kind of trying to come up. You know, I think they have a similar kind of question with Yiddish cup. Only I think there it's the other way around. Anyway, next. So over here he's asking another question. Let it be Osir Os Gezel. Why? Because you're invited to eat. You were not invited to come to my house to take my food and throw it on the ground, right?
Way he can possibly eat.
Okay, so I mean that's basically the answer, but I have to tell you, this is a pet peeve of mine. It's not on the book, but this is a pet peeve. If I invite a guest over the house and they take a chicken cutlet and they take a slice of the chicken cutlet, they eat 10% of it and they leave the rest over on the plate along with all the side dishes, I can't stand it. It drives me crazy. It's like, if you're not going to eat, don't take the food, okay? Don't think you're doing me a favor by taking food and then having me throw it in the garbage. This is a pet peeve. Okay.
It was Charlie.
It's always Charlie. Mm-hmm. He doesn't eat coleslaw, right?
Not coleslaw, but chicken cutlet.
Chicken cutlet, right. Yeah.
In a second.
No problem. Amalai writes to Hushi, Heloi Nachas Rock. So the host wants his guest to have satisfaction. Now the Gemara's going to ask a kasha. Milendra Rabban Pligin. We see the rabbis over here argue with this idea that the host wants the guest to have satisfaction. Can you imagine that there's a machlokas, whether a host wants a guest to have satisfaction? These tanan don't hold that way.
If this host is an Amoritz, and he knows that the guy is taking Meiser, and he's happy that he's taking Meiser, it's almost like, you keep kosher, but it's okay, I don't bother. That's really what he's saying.
Kind of.
Yeah.
Yeah, but which is right. The Gemara's going to show us in a second.
Yeah.
That it's not the case. Okay. Milander Abban Pligin. Damar Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yitzchak Rabbi Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda Nisarchu Eitzel Baal Bayis Echad. Rabbi and Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda were guests by a certain household. Azal Lishna Bisha, and a certain person who said Lashon Hara, a slanderer, said to the host, to this Baal Bayis, Habdaitach, he said, pay attention during the meal, because the Inun Mach Shaduch, the rabbis, they suspect you. Don't think that this is, you know, a easy, straightforward thing. Pay attention. You'll see that they don't trust you. So it's a very beautiful thing to tell somebody. Yosev Lay, I love the way that Yerushalmi refers to the person as a Lishna Bisha. That defines the person. He's a Lishna Bisha. Yosev Lay Ma'ayne Loin. So the host sat down and started carefully watching them. Now realizing they are being observed, so Rebbe and Rebbe Yossi made themselves appear as if they are throwing food to each other, throwing food back and forth to each other. I mean, this happens all the time, you know. Hey, take this potato. No, you take this.
Pass that.
But in this way, they were inconspicuously rectifying the produce, designating the crumbs that fell off while they were throwing it to each other as maestros. This is like a joke. This is like almost like Helm, right? It's almost slapstick comedy almost. The Inu writes a Hanachas Ruach. Did the host not want them to have satisfaction? Why did he watch them so keenly and inhibit them from openly taking the maestros as they wanted to? So that's the Gemara's question. The Gemara answers the obvious answer. Writes a who, of course. The host does want his guests to have satisfaction. But I want you to be comfortable, but I don't want you to be chayshin me. I want some recognition that I'm your host and I'm a person too, right? So when they told him that they suspected him, so he started watching them. But where he has no inkling that the guest suspects him, then of course he's not going to object. Next, Samachlovam Beis. Tony Rabbi Yehuda Eiser. So it says that a person can go ahead.
Can I just ask a question?
Yeah, sure.
Were there wives at the table too? So what do their wives do?
What wives?
Rabbi's wife, Rabbi Yossi's wife.
Okay, let's say they were there.
So they're switching the food and they're taking off Meiser.
Taking Meiser for their wives' portion also, probably. So I'll have to double it up. You're right. I mean, I ate it at the Hasidic Sharebba's house in Lakewood. I forgot his name. I think his first name was Shaul. I forget his name. But the vibe was gassing in the kitchen. Real gassing in the dining room. Uh-huh. So it's not my problem. Tony. So the Mishnah said that you could stipulate about your host produce before Shabbos in order to prepare the portion and partake of it on Shabbos. There's a brisa here, Rabbi Yehuda Eiser. Rabbi Yehuda doesn't agree with this whole thing of stipulating before Shabbos. Why? My time, Rabbi Yehuda Yeshar, Masal Dov Shein Rishusai. How can he make conditions on things that he doesn't have in his Rishus altogether? Now, the Gemara is here raising an issue which we already talked about. Remember the previous page we talked about? We said that we made a chilak between that which was vadai and that which was demai. Remember? If it was vadai, you couldn't make a stipulation like this. If it was demai, you could. And the Gemara said, what's the difference? The Gemara said that this one is Bershusai. This one is Bershusai. That then he has to.
One of them is a rice.
And the other one's not Bershusai. Yeah, the Gemara doesn't answer that. One doesn't say one's drabbanan, one's deraisa. The Gemara answers that one is bershusai, one's not bershusai. Okay. Now, Rabbi Yehuda doesn't hold from that chilak. Might Rabbi Yehuda shehu hailak v'lokach v'makom shalokach zeh. Now he'll agree that what you do is you know that this host goes shopping in 7 Mile. I'll go to 7 Mile and buy the same thing, same type of food, right? And the same way I'm chayshed him not to be ma'aser from the purchasing of the amaratzim over there. So I'll also buy from those amaratzim. So it'll be the same thing. I'll be ma'aser. It'll be the same. Whatever status it is, which is it's not moser if it's a real bona fide amaratz, or it is, regardless, it'll be the same. And therefore, I'll be ma'aser on using that. Okay.
It's just easier to eat at home.
It's much easier. this is way
way not, too complicated.
Way too complicated, right? Yeah. So he says in footnote 3, although Rabbi Yehuda holds you cannot stipulate, meaning you can't make a tenai about produce that's not in your possession, but he will concede that you can exempt produce that's not in your possession. In other words, he's making this very fine distinction. His complaint was that I was taking the maaseris from the food that I'm going to get tomorrow, which is not in my possession. So he's saying, but I'm okay with you taking maaser on food which is in my possession to pater food which is not in my possession. That he's okay with.
Same source.
Same sourced food.
It has to be same source.
Yeah.
Not
yeah,
otherwise
yes.
We said we can't do that.
Yeah. That's
so
correct.
That's
correct.
Just go knock on the door and do the maestros by the host before Shabbos and done.
Yeah. Absolutely.
All these tricks and
everything. Yeah. Okay. Then he brings up the problem again of that Shalom and HaMukaf. Remember, we have the problem of Shalom and HaMukaf. It always has to be next to each other. And we again, the same answer. Just like we said the question the other day, we had a question, how could you make a kinyon on Shabbos? You're not supposed to make kinyonim. We said the Malkin Mitzvah's Mutter. See here, Shalom and HaMukaf, we're going to have the same answer. Okay. Next. Yeshon HaMafer Shaldom Shein HaShalom. Is it possible to take something that's not yours? So here, it's like this. Now, normally you say, Zochen l'olam shelo b'fonav. So, l'chora, you could, in a certain sense, taina, why can't I be mafresh trumas, on maisis rather, on your stuff? I'll do it for you. But our Gemara takes the position, this is in second column, paragraph 4, top of the page, top of the notes. Our Gemara takes the position that we cannot assume that an owner consents to have his maaser separated for his produce, although he will not lose anything for the actual maaser will be taken from the benefactor's produce. The owner might prefer to do the mitzvah himself, and he resents being denied that ability. Even if the owner is an Amal Oretz who does not intend to take the maaser, he might resent the fact that the other person considers him unreliable. So therefore, the question is, how can you take the maaseris on someone else's stuff? That is the current question we have on the table. Now, there's a Gemara actually in the Bavli, in the Dharm, actually asked this question explicitly. Can I take the maaseris for my friend? And the Gemara makes an assumption over there that you do make, that you can. Yeah. But the Yerushalmi apparently holds that we do not automatically assume the owner's consent. Basically, what we have here is we have a Machlokes Bavli Yerushalmi. Yerushalmi here seems to be indicating that you cannot assume that the owner gives consent without his knowledge, and then the Gemara Nedarim seems to indicate that you can. I and Sham. It's an interesting study over there. Okay. Okay, so the answer is, Rabbi Vuhu says what? Rabbi Vuhu, Rishon Rabbi Yochanan, also Oyster can make a pair of tefillin l'chaveiro. They treated this like someone who was selling, he inadvertently sold tevel to your friend. And the guy went away. So, you know, I have a stand. I sold him tevel. I forgot to take the maizis. I forgot to tell him it was tevel. He's now lost in the shuk. I go running around looking for him like a nut. I can't find him. So what do you do?
Text him, right?
Daughter Tony, or use, you know, magic clouds. This is a brisa. Person sold Paris to his friend. Run after your customer, masakhtan, and fix what you messed up. Lomitzov, you don't find him. And if you know, means it's a reasonable amount of time has passed, that you think that the Paris are still in existence, so Masar Aleihem, take the maizes from that produce from Lav. But if you know that it doesn't exist, in the Tzorch Masar Aleihem, you don't have to do it. It's too late. Sofik Kayomim, Sofik Ken Kayomim. If you're not sure if they're around or not, so Masar Aleihem, you have to do it out of doubt. The Karei Shem, the Masar Aleihem. You have to be Karei Shem on these maizes because these maizes have a Sofik, whether they're really maizer or they're not maizer. They might not be Meiser, in which case it's still Tevel. So you have to be Kari Meiser on them and Makam Acher. Okay? Mm-hmm. Now, what's the Brisa? What is this Brisa proving to us? It's answering our question, right? Our question was, how, right? What was the question? The question was, Yesh Adam Mafer Shal Davar Sheinu Shelo, could you take Meiser on something that's not yours? The Gemara, again, we were assuming, you don't say Zach Long Shalom Bafana because the person wants to do the mitzvah himself. So the Gemara's answer is, but there is an exception to that rule. If I sold it to you, and I sold Tevel, and I couldn't find you, and it's still Va'olam, or if it's a Suffolk, it's Va'olam, either way, I take the mitzvah for you, because of course you want that. You're the buyer, you had no idea that it was Tevel, so of course you want the mocher to be fresh the maizes for you, right? So when there's no option, you're allowed to designate maizes to your own produce, and therefore the case of the Shabbos guest is that way. This is the same way, and you can exempt a portion of the host produce on that it was served on Shabbos. That's the answer to the Gemara. Okay, halacha beis 166b. Halacha beis. So now, before we were talking about when you're taking solid food. Now this mishnah is going to talk about the same case. You're invited, except this time it's a drink.
Why would you think there's any difference?
We're going to see there is a difference. I'm going to tell you why in just a second. Mosgulas akos, if they poured him a cup. Omer, he says, mashani osa l'shayer b'shuli hakos. The stuff that I'm going to leave over at the bottom of the cup tomorrow, he's saying this on Erev Shabbos, the stuff which is the 100th of the total amount, which is the Trumas Meiser, right? That's going to be Meiser, and Shur Meiser Somachlo, the rest of it will be Meiser. Zesh Osi Meiser, Osi Trumas Meiser Olav, the 100th will be Trumas Meiser, or Meiser Sheni B'Fiv, and the Meiser Sheni will be at the mouth of the cup, and Mechol Amos will be consecrated on the money that I have in my pocket over here, right?
So Breira?
It's basically the same thing. Is this Breira? Good question. What do you think?
Has to be
Breira. Why does it have to be Breira? Because
you're drinking first and you're leaving last.
Exactly. Good. Exactly. And the reason why the Gemara has to change it is because this is moving around. You know, buy solid food. It's stationary. You can point to a corner of it and say that part is Trumas Meiser. Over here, what are you going to point to? You know, your soda. I twirl my ice in my soda to get the fizz out, you know. And that soda is moving around, you know. Okay, so that's what it says. So the Gemara, and the Gemara is going to speak this out. This is talking about a drink, so the formula in the previous Mishnah couldn't be used because we have a movable object. It's moving. That's footnote 20. The Mishnah cannot be interpreted as describing a formula to be recited on the Shabbos. Right? Because it's forbidden to designate Meisers on Shabbos. So when it says mozgulos hakos, which is a misleading terminology, because it sounds like they are pouring him the cup. It sounds like he's at the table on Shabbos, and that's when he's making this designation. That's not correct. It means he's making the designation Erev Shabbos in anticipation of when they're going to be mozgulos hakos tomorrow. Okay, that's what that means. Right, that's what the Gemara seems to be saying over here. So what's the formula? If he's saying the Maestro's designation will already take effect before the drinks, so that when he drinks on the top, he's already Trumas Maestro at the bottom, Mashkim Uravhu. The beverage is a mixture of Chulin and Trumas Maestro. You can't do that. You can't drink from a mixture of Trumas Maestro and Chulin. And if you're going to say that it'll take effect only after you already drank it, then it'll come out that he only that he drank tevel when he started drinking. So it must be what? Elokeon kayam. And what must we be talking about? Bo'emer mikvar lekisha eshta. In other words, it'll take the mice, the trumas meister will take effect from Erev Shabbos when I will drink, meaning it'll be effective immediately, but it'll be identified only after I finish drinking, and it'll be, as we said before, it'll be Breira. Okay? So he doesn't drink Tevel. Trumas Meister is designated. The drink is rectified from the moment of the Tanai, but there's no mixture because it's only when he finishes drinking that it actually gets designated. So the Gemara on Tzamach Zayin, which I'm going to start a little bit now, so now, because we have a couple of minutes, lo nimsa matato truma tmeya b'shavas. This truma smicer, it belongs to the Amorites, so presumably everything he owns is tame. So the truma smicer is going to be tame then. So then how can you go ahead and be matato the cup? In other words, when you're finished drinking, No, it's already tame. It was tame from the beginning, from the get-go. All his chulin is tummy, everything's tummy. Because he's tummy, my Amaretz is tummy. So everything's tummy, so how are you it has no, it's totally useless. Something's totally
useless. You have to burn it.
You know, I mean, you're, only if you're Kohen do you have that right. But for you, the Yisrael, you can't burn it. So what are you going to do with it? It turns out that it's useless. It should be, as far as Shabbos is concerned. So it should be mukzah, so how can you move the cup when you finish drinking? That's the Gemara's kasha. It's a little bit of a strange question. At the bottom of the footnotes, there's a Reb Kiveger who has a very, very famous rule. Everybody knows if I go ahead and take, let's say, a klishim lachdelis, so let's suppose I pick up a hammer, I crack open my coconut, which I'm allowed to do on Shabbos with my hammer, right? Because it's a klishim lachdelis, which is mutl tzarek gufa, right? So when I'm done cracking open the coconut, I don't have to throw the hammer out of my hand. You walk to your toolbox and put it back where you got it from. Because once they were matter it, it's mutter to continue moving it until you're done with it. That's the rule by Bob. So over here too, what's the problem? When you started moving the cup, it was mutter. So what's the problem? So it became muksa inside there. So you go ahead and you put it down. What's the problem? That's he's asking over here. If Kiveger is, let's see. Yeah, sorry. It's the A at the bottom, second paragraph. Another issue raised by Rav Kiveger, the halacha is if one holds muksa'id article permissibly, you're allowed to continue holding it until you find the appropriate place for it. For example, you lift a hammer from a chair because he needs space. He's not required to drop the hammer on the floor next to the chair. Once you're holding it, you can put it where it belongs. In our case, the person lifted the cup and began drinking permissibly, for the cup was at the time filled mainly with chulin. There should be nothing wrong with continuing to handle the cup when he has finished drinking and it contains only muksa. So that's a little bit of a problem.
Is there an answer?
He doesn't give an answer. Oh, no, he does give an answer here at the end. He says like this. He's going to argue like this. In the case of the hammer, so the muksa item was a muksa item before Shabbos began. you identified a mukta item, and it was mutal until Litzarach Gufo. You can move that for the Litzarach Makomov to move it off the chair because you need the chair. But here, you didn't. The Trumas Meiser never existed. When you started being metalto the cup, the Trumas Meiser will be identified after you finish drinking. Only then there's a little bit left at the bottom of the cup. Only then it becomes identified as Trumas Meiser. At that moment, it becomes mukta. So it wasn't like you started being metalto mukta beheter, and now you're gonna, and now it became usser, and you can continue carrying it. No, you never were metalto mukta. That's his answer. Okay. Yeah, so the Gemara is going to answer. Well, we'll do the answer tomorrow. Okay. Kol tov, I got it. Good night, Tzvi.
Okay. Now I'm going to tell you this.